Hi, I'm Lisa Goldberg, nutritionist and weight loss coach, and welcome to the Right Way to Weight Loss Summit. I'm here today with Dr. Joy Martina, and I'm really excited for this conversation today. Dr. Martina is a psychic psychologist of crystalline consciousness and specializes in high-level intuitive intelligence training for entrepreneurs, business owners, and celebrities. Welcome, Joy. It's so wonderful to have you here today.
Lisa, good to be here.
Excellent. So before we kind of get started on our conversation about the missing link in weight loss, tell us about yourself and how you got started in the work that you do.
Well, I'm Joy, and I'm a mom of three kids of my own and five stepchildren. And I studied a bunch of stuff from psychology over law, over, I don't know, whatever I could lay my hands on. I've always been really interested in learning and growing. And after I'd done all these educations and I had everything in life that I thought was important, so I had a happy family, happy kids, I had all the abundance that I wanted and everything was good, I noticed I was just not feeling happy anymore. And I couldn't figure out why, because I thought, you know, what's wrong with me? And then I did some deep searching and got into actually embracing that spiritual part of me more, that part that had always been doing the funky stuff like, I don't know, family constellations, NLP, hypnosis, channeling, you know. And I decided to do what I really love doing. And that is not only to help myself, because I like finding tools and getting the input that allows me to help myself. That just feels most empowering to me. And then I decided, why don't I do that for others too? And it just makes me so happy that I'm able to now help, you know, clients from all over the place achieve their goals, make their heart's desires come true. I think that's more what it is, because I think a lot of programming that we've all received sometimes has this feeling that it's all about just achieving the next goal and doing this hamster wheel, as you said just now, right? This feeling of being so driven and losing that joy in life. So it was really tuning back into my own name. And I was given this name because my parents had been told they couldn't have children. And then 9 months later, I was born naturally, you know, no other help. Here I go. So it took me losing my joy, finding it again, and then deciding to just be that and see if I can help others thrive too.
Oh, excellent. I love that story. And so, you know, this summit really is about the right way to weight loss, giving people a way to, because so many people out there struggle with their weight. They tend to blame themselves or they don't understand why or what makes it so hard, because I feel like so many, especially the women that I work with, like intellectually, they know what they should be doing, but there's so much that goes on that stands in their way, or they have these false starts and stops, or they lose weight and ultimately gain it back again. So, you know, with the work that you do, especially with things like NLP, a lot of it is about your brain, your subconscious, your mindset. So could you speak a little bit about how your brain really is so involved in, you know, and the topic of our conversation is the missing link in weight loss. So, and so how that is a big part of the missing link for so many people out there who want to lose weight and, more importantly, want to keep off the weight that they lose.
I think you said the word, it's the word struggle. We've been so conditioned to be made to believe that, you know, only very hard work, only struggle is going to make whatever we're striving for worth it. And that's just not true, and especially not true in weight loss, because our body, if we just look at the mechanics of the body, when our body is stressed, when our nervous system is stressed, when our brain is stressed, the last thing that our body will want to do is let go of something, transform matter, because that's what we're trying to do when we're losing weight. That's alchemy. We're taking physical matter and we're changing it. And to be able to change physical matter, we first have to get our brain in check. And when we look at the brain, as you said, we have the conscious part of the brain, but that's just the tip of the iceberg. All that stuff beneath the water level, right, is the unconscious mind. And that unconscious mind is like this massive database that is storing everything and anything that ever happened to you, but not only this lifetime, past lives, ancestral stuff. So because we're just energy, right, we bring all that programming with us. And then we have, you know, life itself, where the first 7 years of our childhood are the programming years. And we are not in control of what happens in those first 7 years, are we? We're not, because our brain waves are in deeply relaxed brainwave zones. It floored me when I found out that 0 to 2 year olds are in delta most of the time. Now, you and I, Lisa, we can't stay awake in delta, or not consciously, right? That's deep sleep for us. They're in that state most of the time. And what that means is that when we're in a really relaxed brainwave state, we're highly programmable, we're highly suggestible. Because you see, as a hypnotist, I used to have to spend so much effort getting someone just to relax. That's the main struggle that people usually have, that they have a lot of fears about hypnosis, a lot of misconceptions, and then their brains have not been trained to relax at will. It's more a thing that happens by chance. And what happens for most people nowadays when they're Netflixing or scrolling social feed, that's when they're relaxing. But you see, that's not true relaxation, because it's still information input. And when we're in a deeply relaxed brainwave state, we've got input coming in. We're not in control of what happens with that. It goes into our unconscious mind. And then depending on the kind of the different data that we have in there, whether we have trauma in our past, whether we've just had, I mean, we've all had painful experiences, right? All that stuff will then filter reality. And the unconscious mind is running the show. It's 85% of our mind, and it's the one running the show. So even if we consciously know we want to be healthy, we know we want to be happy, doesn't mean that we always have both parts of our brain, our mind, really fully aligned with that. So what I have found is the most important thing to do in any coaching, doesn't matter if someone wants to lose weight or change their life or, I don't know, manifest a husband, it doesn't matter. We have to get alignment. We have to get coherence and congruence happening in the system. And coherence happens when our heart and our brain are talking, when this is an axis that's in tune. Congruence happens when all parts of us want the same thing. So when we have those two things in check, and we have learned simple ways, and there are, I'm sure you know so many different tricks and tools and brain hacks, right? Well, we just have to start applying them and noticing where am I taking myself down? Where am I going back into, you know, past pain, into stories that are limiting? And that's always that limitation that will hit, right? That wall that feels like I can never get through that. Well, yeah, you've just told yourself I can never get through that.
Right. Well, so those are everybody's, and you know, limiting beliefs, right? The things that stop us, right? If we don't believe it's true, if we don't believe we're able or we're capable, we're just going to find a way to stand in our way.
Yeah, well, we have to be 100% certain. We have to just know. And that's why, you know, I'm sometimes called the intuition chick, because that's my thing. When you are intuitive, when your intuition is strong, you just know. You know what you need to know when you need to know it. And you don't need to know why you know it. You just know. And that's certainty. And I think right now, what most of us are just looking for is a sense of security and safety and certainty, because the world seems so uncertain. And if we look at weight loss and diets and all that stuff, there's so much information out there. You can literally Google anything and you will find pros and cons for anything. So how do you know what's right for you? Well, the only one who knows what's right for you is you. But we have to start trusting that you again. And then for me, that's when everything shifted. And ever since, I've been trusting intuition more and more, and trusting myself more, and trusting my body, and knowing I've got this, the more easeful it becomes.
So let me ask you something. So I know there's a lot of people out there, when you're talking about trusting yourself, right? And being in, you're trusting your own intuition, trusting yourself. Mm-hmm. I call it your inner knowing. But for so many people that have been on a diet, and, you know, and it's interesting to me that so many people struggle with their weight, refer to themselves as, like, you know, failing or failures, right? Mm-hmm. They don't look at maybe the diet, which diets typically don't work for the long run, but they don't tend to blame the diet or the fact that it was unsustainable. They tend to blame themselves. So they've lost weight, they've gained it back, they've lost weight. So they have the belief that I'm going to fail anyway. So how does somebody had that experience over and over and over again, take the first step, at least, to starting to believe that they can do it because the evidence shows, at least in their minds, that they haven't been able to.
Sure, and that's what our brain does, because our brain is really smart at finding evidence for what is. So it, you know, it's like asking, if you ask a stupid question, you get a stupid answer. If you ask your unconscious mind, why am I so fat? And then your unconscious mind will give you a whole list of reasons why that is so. But that's not helpful. If you were instead to have the habit, for instance, and you could start doing that right now, of asking the empowering question, you could ask something like, why is it so easy for me to shed the excess fat? Why is that so easy for me? Why is it so easy for me? And your brain will give you answers. So that's the one of the things that you can do. Ask an empowering question. Why am I the luckiest person in this room? Why am I so lucky to now be the healthiest person? You know, just ask better questions. Then when we go into the, you know, the unconscious programming that we just talked about, this sabotage, this thing of failing and failing and failing, it just means that you haven't found the right way yet. And usually it's ditching everything you think you know and doing something very simple. I'll give you two things. One of the things is they're both for free. They both take less than 11 minutes, but I know that most of us will struggle with the one thing that is simplest most, because we're just not accustomed to accepting that something can be easy and it can be simple. And sometimes it's repeating easy and simple things to train new habits, because when we do that something for 90 days, it's good, like brushing our teeth. It's a habit. You don't have to think about it anymore. So creating, rather than focusing on the failure, focus on where you want to go and focus on creating little great habits. Maybe it's just drinking water consciously, right? Taking a glass of water and blessing it before you drink it, saying, this is my fat burning water. It's detoxing, it's healing. And every time I drink it, I feel that flush of energy. And you say it out loud. Your voice is the most powerful voice to your brain. Do this every time, do it for 90 days, and you've blessed the water without even thinking about it. Next thing, before you eat something, make sure that you de-stress the system. Very often when we're eating, we're not only sometimes also telling ourselves what this food is going to do to us. I don't know how many friends I stop in their tracks nowadays, because they're friends, right? And they'll say something, that they'll get this amazing, I don't know, dessert. And now you can see how they've really been looking forward to this. They'll sit down in front of them and then they'll start eating and say, I shouldn't be eating this. This is going to go right on my hips. You know, all this sugar, I'm going to feel it. I know I will. And I'm like, what are you doing? So instead of doing that, you want to make sure that you're in a good, neutral, calm state. So go ahead and take a finger and just tap above your lips and underneath your nose in this Cupid's bow here. This point here is the governing vessel, an acupressure meridian point, right? An energy body system point that will help the whole body de-stress. So if we just go ahead and tap this and breathe before we put anything in our mouth, we're already in a better state and we're already helping our body digest, because our body's going to have to process whatever we put in there. The thoughts that we have while we're eating or drinking something, but also, you know, the nutrients and all the stuff that's in the physical part itself. So we can help our body by de-stressing before we eat. And this is part of what I use in my Sleep Your Fat Away program. It's a simple habit. Just do this. And then I like saying, you know, bless your food. Say, at least say thank you. You know, the word thank you, that frequency, you know, everything's just energy. That frequency literally can change the molecules in water. Masaru Emoto, with all his water studies, has proven that. Homeopathy has proven that. So I think it's about using the power of our mind more and having little habits like this or blessing your water that'll really help eat slower, eat more consciously, and do all the good things you know you should be doing, because you're setting yourself up for success.
Right. I love that. And so, you know, the tapping, right, to bring yourself into a calmer, more relaxed state. Mm-hmm. Is that a little bit, I know you talk about kind of tuning into your body's wisdom, right? Is that a little bit of what you mean when you talk? Because I know our bodies speak to us if people actually listen, but I feel like people are always in such a rush or an overwhelmed state that they don't pay attention to what their body's saying. So could you explain a little bit?
Yeah. Tapping, you know, EFT, emotional freedom technique, there are lots of different names for this, or emotional balance. What it's doing is you're sending energy down a highway and highway of energy in your body. So if you imagine the body, it has all these energy highways that the Chinese call meridians. And the endpoints of the meridians are very powerful points. And we have them all over our bodies. So up here, we're tapping to generally de-stress the body because the governing vessel, that meridian, is going to just get the energy from the physical tapping. That's energy, right? You could also massage it. That's one part of the game. The other part of the game is that if you have a good thought while you're doing that, you're taking that conscious breath, you are doing two things at the same time. If you now say something as well, you're doing three things. And that's more than the conscious mind can handle. What that means is that that message goes right into your unconscious mind. So you're reprogramming yourself. You're not only de-stressing by physically tapping, sending energy down, saying, calm down, it's all okay. But then if you say something nice to yourself, even like, thank you, I love myself, I'm grateful for this food, whatever. You're really getting that message into the deepest layers of your unconscious mind. And if you keep doing that, as I said, you create a new neurosynaptic complex that's a little highway in your brain, and it's done on automatic. And those are the most fun things because you see, our brain is technically lazy. That's why we always do the things the same way. We usually get up out of bed with the same leg. We'll brush our teeth starting, you know, in the certain place. We're creatures of habit. So I say, make it easy on yourself. Rather than focusing on the bad habits, create great new ones that are more fun, that give you more energy, because then you'll naturally want to do them.
Yeah. And I want people to actually know that what Joy just explained, the tapping is a tool. It is an amazing tool to get you to change your habit. And what you really want to do is carve that new neural pathway in your brain for the new habit. So when you do tapping or EFT or any other kind, use a tool over and over and over again, right, for that new habit, that's when the change really sticks, right? Because that's what so many people have trouble doing, getting those new habits to stick. So yeah, it's about a bit of
action. At the same time, right? We'll say, like, I'm going to do this all different now. Sometimes that can work, but sometimes it's easier to just to stack them. Start with one, see how that's working, get that feedback loop going, then stack on the next, and then suddenly you have that transformation that you've been seeking. Yeah, well said, Lisa. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And I want to talk about something you just mentioned just a few minutes ago. You have a program that involves sleep and fat loss. So could you right? So could you talk a little bit about why or how or what makes sleep so important on somebody's weight loss journey? Because we've read so many scientific studies that show, like, there's really hard evidence that sleep is so important when it comes to weight.
Yeah.
And your overall.
There's so much research out there proving again and again, it's good for the brain. We need it for our immune system, everything. We need sleep. But the thing is, a lot of people are struggling with sleep. And what I'm seeing in my practice is that the reason for that is that the stress levels throughout the day get too high. We get too frazzled. We get too caught up in the buzz that it's hard to come down from this buzz and then expect the body to go from, I don't know, couch Netflixing, scrolling through the phone, putting it to the side and sleep. It's just silly. Some people can do that. But most of us will then have a hard time either going to sleep or staying asleep. And the simple reason, and I just heard today, I heard the latest study on why, for instance, especially in the US, younger into puberty earlier and earlier because of the screens, because the blue light in the screens. So when you're Netflixing, when you're going through your phone, that blue light disrupts not only our brain function, but it affects our hormonal system. So that's a huge bit. So getting a good night's sleep really starts with the habits that you have throughout the day to manage stress and not to get into that frazzled state. Take a break. Come on. Nobody is that important that they cannot take a 10, 15 minute break throughout the day. It's bullshit, right? So, and you have to make that a priority. I know I had to. I was sucked at that. I needed to go into total burnout to discover, oh, wow, maybe I should practice what I teach. Maybe I should also meditate at lunchtime. Might help, right? It does. So, you know, taking little breaks out, getting the brain to calm down every now and again, and then having a good sleeping habit going to bed habit is really important so that when we go to sleep, our body can actually do things like regenerate, heal, recharge. And then we could even do fun things like astral travel and use our dream time for actual creation. But we can't do that if our body is just exhausted. And many of us are exhausted. So in my weight loss program, I think that's why lots of people say, oh, that sounds too good to be true. Sleep your fat away. And I'm like, yeah. You need to chill the F out. You need to learn how to sleep again. And the cool thing is that if you use brain training, so sleep programming throughout the night, a lot of people have a much easier time going to sleep because it's rather like, having, I don't know, mommy or daddy sitting at your bedside and reading you a good night story. And just having that calming voice where you know she's just telling you lots of good stuff all night long. After usually 10 days, people notice a big shift in their depth of sleep, in their changing of habits throughout the day. It's fascinating. And it's the most effective way, I think, of training your brain rather than, I don't know, paying a hypnotist hundreds of bucks every week. You can do it at home. You have it on your phone. It's an app.
So is that what it is? So I was going to say, could you give the listeners a tip as to how they get started to get into a sleep pattern or to what they need to do to fall into that deeper, more relaxing sleep?
Okay, so get off your screens an hour before you go to sleep. Set a sleep time that you keep to, a reasonable one, right? Get off your phones, have an evening ritual. I'm a great believer in taking an evening walk, a stroll, not a jog. Not something getting you all jazzed up again, but a gentle stroll under the moonlight. Make sure that you don't have any artificial lights going on or as little as possible. You know, there's a reason why candles are beautiful or red light. You know, get yourself a red light. They're cheap on Amazon, but get off this blue light. Then take a stroll, take a bath, take a shower. I'm a great believer in cold showers. And then I think breath practice is the easiest way to start if you're not an experienced meditator. And even if you are an experienced meditator, go into breath practice. I mean, I studied Wim Hof. I do all kinds of different breath practices, but simple things like count from 1 to 5 as you breathe in and from 1 to 5 as you breathe out and think of something nice. Keep your mind focused. Do it sitting up. I wouldn't do it lying down at the beginning because it's usually harder to keep the focus because then you'll start going through your to-do list maybe. Play with a mantra. You know, a mantra is just an affirmation. So one that I love is I expand into love, health, joy, success and abundance as I inspire those around me to do the same. A nice mantra, and just keep repeating that because then you're keeping your mind focused, you're saying nice things to yourself and you're focusing on your breath. And then you could do some conscious breath work or something. You set your time on 5-10 minutes, but have an end point for the day where you say, okay, whatever happened today, it's done. Now is nighttime. And there shouldn't be a phone in the bedroom. We know those sort of things. And keep electronics out. And just teach your body to calm down. And that, I think, is step one. Then having an audio meditation, if you find a voice that you like and you like the messages that are being given, then have it on repeat. You know, if some people are really strapped for cash right now, I get it. Then get one meditation you love, put it on loop, and have it running at night on a barely audible level. That's a trick. Not too loud, otherwise it'll annoy you. But really barely audible, because here's the thing. The unconscious mind is never asleep. It's always awake. So use the nightly hours where your conscious mind is finally out of the way and program your unconscious mind. Use healing frequencies, whatever floats your boat. But use those nightly hours because they're valuable for training the brain to get back into a state of homeostasis, balance, you know, calm. That's what we need.
I love that. And I love doing these summits because I feel like I'm always learning something new myself when I speak to people like yourself. And then the truth is I didn't know our unconscious mind was never on off, right? Kind of good, you know, something really important, I think, to be aware of. Like there's always information going in there no matter what.
Yep. That's why I pay great attention to the music that I listen to. I've never been a fan of I don't know, horror movies or brutal stuff. Even as a kid, I could never watch it. And now I consciously don't. Because unless the story is fascinating, so it outweighs the gruesome scenes that I have to see, it just bothers me. Why would I want that information inside of me? No, if I'm in a funky mood, I'll watch stand-up comedy. I'll do something that's going to bring the shift rather than numb it out into something so then is suppressed further and then I'll have to deal with it later on. It just doesn't make sense. Something else that might do is the difference of processing speed of the conscious and the unconscious mind, because a lot of people don't know that. So the conscious mind only has a processing speed of 116 pieces of information per second. That's all. The unconscious mind has a processing power of millions and millions of pieces of information per second. So just to give you a feeling, if two people are speaking, that's pretty much all the conscious mind can handle. Because if a third person starts speaking, you know yourself, you don't know what to focus on. You'll have trouble following, right? But the unconscious mind, if you were to take that audio that you love and you play it backwards and twice the speed, your unconscious mind will still receive the messaging, which is amazing and scary at the same time, because it often makes you wonder how much are you taking in that you just don't know. So I don't want to add to fear. That's the opposite of what I want. So rather than going into the fear, see it as an opportunity of what could I feed my brain with? What would feel good? What do I want to believe? And just keep repeating that, because the brain does not know the difference between an imagination and reality. If your imagination is strong and you just play with that, you have the feelings, you imagine you're already there, that vision of the future, so that you that's healthy and happy and slim and, you know, all the challenges are behind you, that you exists. So all you've got to do is keep tuning into that and imagine, where would you be? How would you know? How would you feel? What would be the thought in your mind? What colors would be around you? What smells would you smell? And just keep tuning in, and do that before you go to sleep, for instance. I always do that before I go to sleep, is I tune into my golden moment in the future and I just imagine it. And it's a snapshot. And it sometimes changes, but sometimes I'll be on a beach, or sometimes I'll be, I don't know, giving a great speech somewhere, noticing a beautiful transformation, whatever. But just keep feeding that, because where your focus goes, energy flows, it's physics. So if you make that desired outcome the strongest image that you have, the strongest sensation, the, you know, biggest thing, then that energy will be stronger than all the stuff in the past. So, you know, then the timelines collapse, synchronicities happen, and suddenly you're there. I've seen it again and again, really, not only with myself, but with clients. That's the best thing, isn't it? When you see it in others and you say, damn, see, told you it would work.
Well, so here's part of it. People have to be open and willing. And you said something earlier in the conversation where you have to implement what you learn, right? You have to actually apply it. Like anybody listening to this conversation could say, that makes so much sense. But if you're not actually taking what you're listening to and applying it in your life, right, nothing's going to change.
So do it.
I also want people to understand, based on this conversation that we're having, how important your brain and your mindset plays a role in you losing weight and keeping that weight off. And one more thing I want to talk about, which I think is so important, because I talk to my clients about it all the time, is why is self-love so important on one weight loss journey?
I love that question. And every time I answer it, it comes out completely different. So let's see what comes through today. Self-love means that you value yourself enough to know that you are important enough, that you're worthy of a healthy, happy body and a healthy, long, beautiful life. If there is any shadow of doubt in you, and usually we have a lot of doubt there, right? Because it's just stuff happens, so it's okay. But if there's a shadow of doubt in there, then we're going to keep repeating that. It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy, because what we send out comes back to us. We will send out those vibes that maybe we're not that worthy. Maybe it's okay that we're the only ones who have to constantly please others and struggle and work hard. And maybe we're the only ones who'll never lose weight and all that stuff going on. Then yes, that will happen. So it's a big thing, really putting yourself first, because I think it triggers all the fears in us. And the biggest ones are that we'll be rejected, we'll be abandoned, we'll be ridiculed, we'll be entrapped. What will others think? Oh, then they'll think I'm being egotistical and I'm selfish. Yeah, they will most likely, because they haven't learned yet either. But someone who's understood will value that in you. And those are those people that you actually want to hang out with, because you become like the five people that you hang out with most of the time. So if you're hanging out with people who are also not appreciating themselves, also judging themselves and others really harshly, also not able to really love themselves, well, then that's not going to change for you. So you're going to have to be that crab getting out of the bucket and say, you know what? I'm going to do this and I'm going to inspire you because I want you to do the same. And then it's not a threat, but you can be that role model. And I think we have to become our own heroes. We have to feel friggin' proud of ourselves. And also us women, right? That we learn to connect in celebration and say, you know what? I so appreciate you for inviting me to this conversation. I honor the work and effort that you've put into the summit. I know it's a ton of work. And I want you to know that. So if we started talking to each other like that, we'd all be uplifting each other. And then we just have more good vibes to share around. So yeah, it does start with ourselves. You've got to love you, all of you. You might not like some parts of you. You might judge them, but look at it. All those little parts of you have made you of who you are today. And all those seeming failures were incredible learnings. And you get the chance again. So it's all good.
I love that because it's really the truth. It all starts with us and valuing ourselves and respecting ourselves and, you know, finding ourselves, you know, worthy of taking the journey of feeling better in our bodies, of having a healthy and happy life. Right. And when you love yourself and you believe that for yourself, you're less likely to sabotage yourself and get into your own way because you believe you deserve everything that's good and wonderful in your life.
And you'll make better choices, right? So when we come from asking a question I like asking myself is, what is the most loving thing that I can do for myself right now? What is the most loving thing? And then my brain will always give me a great answer, like take a nap. I don't know, call a friend. Sometimes it'll say, eat a chocolate. Then I'll say, oh, yay, let's do that. And then when I eat that piece of chocolate, I say, oh, this is so good for me. All the good stuff in, all the other out. And I don't know, I just see something fun. And I really eat everything that I want to eat. And I think I'm one of the few, at least in my circle of friends, because I have a lot of friends in the health and weight loss industry. And they're all, you know, they super fit and snazzy and whatever. But when I sit down at a table with them, oh, no, I can't eat that. No, I'm allergic to that. No, I have an intolerance there. No, I don't do nightshades. No, I don't. I'm like, Jesus, Jesus, this sounds like work. I love my food, right? And that doesn't change. I've just got to plug in get some energy in here. Oops. Yeah, so it starts with ourselves, the conversation we have in our brains about what we're doing. And also, you know, how are we going to expect someone else to respect and love ourselves, us, if we can't?
Agreed. 100%. And I think that's a huge takeaway. So I want everybody to take that in and to start thinking differently about yourself. And if you have a negative conversation going on in your mind, right, we have the ability to stop and turn that around and tapping and change a thought in your head and bring it back to some self-love.
Yeah.
And so, Joy, I know you have an amazing gift for the listeners today. And I think it actually might have to do with self-love.
It does. Fancy that, right? It does. I created this meditation training in a time where I realized that my self-love was not as great as I thought I was. It was because I thought, you know, as long as I'm not hurting myself, that's good enough. It's not, because then how can you create anything that's better than good enough? If you think, oh, this is good enough. And I catch myself so often say, oh, this is good enough. It's like, no, I need to raise my standards. So I applied what I teach. I created this brain training for myself and I listened to it every single day. I woke up with it. I went to sleep with it. I had it going on, you know, subliminally in the background when I was working. And it really did something for me. So I decided I need to share that with as many people as possible. I hope you like it. Tune in, see if you like my voice and if it helps you relax. And if it does, go on a journey. It's actually such a beautiful goal to have. You know, if it's true, and I believe it is, that it all starts with us, and that the only job we actually have is to tune into that love that we have for ourselves, not the obsession of the ego. No, that love that created us, that love that we have, that's our only real job. Isn't that the most beautiful job to have? You get to fall in love with you? I mean, how awesome is that? So yeah, I hope the meditation is an inspiration to everyone who listens. Go ahead, download it and see what it does for you.
Okay, excellent. And hopefully some people might have even downloaded it already because it was in the email that you received this morning announcing our interview. And Joy, can you also, if the listeners want to know more, like they want to know more about you and the work that you do and perhaps even do some work with you, how did they find you?
Well, it's easy. It's joypina.com. That's my website. You can surf around there and find out what you can do with me. We can schedule a personal healing session. I usually do one-offs because I like to keep a lot of space for my VIP clients. So I always take 3 people a year that I take under my wings and we go the whole thing. Yeah, I've written books. I've got a bunch of meditations to listen to, brain trainings, courses to do, like the Quantum Intuition Bootcamp. And yeah, for those who'd really like to embark on their weight loss journey, I suggest you check out Sleep Your Fat Away. There's a free webinar. I explain all the nuts and bolts of the program. And if it's something you'd like to do, it's really very simple. You have an app on your phone. You listen to a couple of audios. You literally put your earbuds in and close your eyes. I mean, it doesn't get much simpler. And this trick I've already taught you.
Okay, excellent. I love that. So thank you so much for being here with us today. I really feel like it was such an enlightened conversation and reinforces that people just have to learn to pay attention to their mind and do the work to change the habits. And it all starts with self-love.
With yourself. Yes. 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 Thank you so much, Lisa.
Oh, my pleasure. And thank you all for being here with us today and have a great rest of your day.